Here we go. Is it working? Yeah, sound good. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are going to speak about Power Pivot for Excel 2013 in action. That means we are going to see how to use Power Pivot for Excel 2013 to build common scenarios with BI. Before I start, let me spend just 1 minute, or maybe less, about who am I. I'm Alberto Ferrari. I'm a consultant with Marco Russo. We find at SQLBI.com. There you can find, if you are interested in that, information about white papers, analysis services, all our thoughts and discussions about basically data warehouses on the Microsoft BI stack. I'm a book writer, BI partner, SAS Maestro, MVP, MCP, and a lot of different names. But the really important thing for today is that I really love to do business intelligence. I like BI. I like the trend which is coming of self-service BI. I like to use Excel. I like to solve business problems. That said, I want to understand just a bit about you. So how many of you work in the BI industry? I guess more or less. Not everybody, just half of you. How many of you work with the Microsoft BI stack? Most of you. With Analysis Services 2008 R2 or Multidimensional, the previous version of Analysis Services? Some, not so many. How many of you know what self-service BI is? So and so. Have you already tried Power Pivot for Excel 2013? Some. Have you already used DAX? A few. Do you really want to hear something more about big data? Sorry for you, but that's not a session about big data. And finally, how many of you use Excel? That's it. The reason why the last question is there are at least two reasons. The first one is that I want to see all hands raising. And the second point is that everybody uses Excel. Doesn't matter whether you do BI, whether you work with multidimensional, whether you do pivot table, whatever your job is, if you have a computer and you have Office installed, good chances are that you are using Excel. Excel is something that changes things. Excel is providing the complete world of BI. And just to give you an idea of how important it is, what happened in the 70s. And I guess you understand how old I feel when I start a slide saying what happened in the 70s, because I was there at that time. There was music, free sex, Woodstock, a lot of interesting stuff, but we are geeks, so we are not interested neither in music or sex, maybe. Our most interesting topic is computers. And these are some of the computers you can find on the web that are all from beginning of the 70 up to the end of the 70. And I see people doing that with a head. That means you're at least old as me, because I had more than one of these computers. The point is that if you search on the web for computers or information technology in the 70s, you only find hardware. There's no software there. There is just hardware. And that's correct, because at that time, when you thought about computers, you just thought about hardware. Software was something additional that you could buy, but was not the main, most important thing. Then at the end of the 70s, something really changed. And one single piece of software changed completely the world. When VisiCalc came on the market, the world, the computer world, changed. People stopped buying hardware. They started buying VisiCalc. There were people going in shops and say, hey, I want a VisiCalc. That means you want a PC with two disk drives and some RAM and something else. Yeah, yeah, I don't care what you want. I want a VisiCalc. Then give me whatever is needed to solve my problem. VisiCalc at that time was not so powerful, but VisiCalc was the beginning of what now is Excel. In 2009, something probably not so important happened, but still very important.
that is Power Pivot was announced. Power Pivot was born in 2010, announced in 2009, and when I first saw that, I was in Seattle at that time, looking at that piece of software, my reaction was, okay, another useless piece of software from Microsoft that nobody will use to do anything serious because it's just a toy in the hand of users that will never be able to build self-service BI by themselves. So my thoughts at that time were that Power Pivot was totally useless. From then, I wrote 3 books about it. I do courses, I do workshops, I spend most of my time teaching Power Pivot just because I changed my mind when I started using it and saw how important it is and how powerful it is in the hand of users. Power Pivot is based on a new language, which is the DAX language. From what I've seen among you, pretty nobody is using the DAX language, so it means that you still have to learn it. It's the new programming language of Tabular, Power Pivot for Excel, and Excel 2013 data model. It's a completely new language. If you want to learn it, and the goal of this session is to show what you can do with DAX so that maybe you might decide to learn it, think that it's not an easy language. It will take time to learn it. It's a completely new technology, completely new way of writing code and optimizing formulas, so it takes time. Don't think you will do that in a couple of weeks. It takes a lot of time before you are a real master of the DAX language. So the point is, I'm not going to teach DAX. 1 hour and 15 minutes is definitely not enough to speak about a language, and it would be useless to bore you with syntax and all the topics of the language. What I want to show you is how to build a complete solution, a complete business intelligence solution based on AdventureWorks, of course, just using Excel, some DAX formulas. We will start from very simple scenarios, so a simple star schema with fact dimension and some browsing in order to understand what is the base user, the base usage you can do of Power Pivot, and then we increase the complexity of our challenge up to a point where solution made with multidimensional normally take weeks, if not months, to be created, while in DAX they are just a matter of more or less 1 hour. And my personal idea is that Excel is again changing something. It's feeding the wave of self-service BI up to a point that BI consultants will probably do slightly different jobs in the future just because users will be able to solve most of their problems just by themselves. So the scenario is AdventureWorks. I guess everybody here knows AdventureWorks. AdventureWorks is a company. They sell bikes all around the world. They already have a data warehouse. I'm not going to explain anything about what a star schema is, how to build facts and dimension. They are already there. Somebody built them for you. But they are at a point where the data warehouse is there, and they need to build reports. So they need to start writing reports, writing analysis, using pivot table, and change the kind of data they look at. And the tool they have in their hand is Excel 2013. The data warehouse is a very simple star schema. We have the sales in the middle and then dimension all over, all around, date, customer, geography, categories, products. So normal data warehouse you can find from any customer. And think that this solution is now in the hand of a classical BI consultant. We have Marco there, who is pretty good in writing MDX code, so think that he starts writing a solution for AdventureWorks. In 2008 R2 or previous version, what Marco has to do is open Visual Studio, create a solution, design dimensions, measure group, create all technical stuff, write some pieces of MDX code, and then deploy on the server and go back to the user. Takes I guess 1 day, 2 days, I don't know, some days before the user is able to see something. And most important, the kind of job he is doing now is completely obscure from to the user. The user is not able even to understand what is happening. He only sees a pivot table at the end. In the meantime, we simply do a different way. We open Excel and we start building a prototype with the customer. So we open a tool which is familiar to the user, and we start building the solution with him. The idea is to see Excel as a prototype for a complete solution, which at the end we will try to deploy on the server. That was the last useful slide. From now on, we will spend most of our time on Excel, and we use slides just to recap a few topics. So we start with Excel. We open Excel, and of course, we start with a blank workbook. Excel 2013 comes with Power Pivot pre-installed. If you don't have it, it's installed but not enabled by default, so you need to enable it. And once you have it, you have a new tab in the ribbon, click on Manage, and you open the Power Pivot window, which lives in a different area than Excel. So you have two different windows, one for Power Pivot and one for Excel. And since we need to do a solution, the first thing we do is loading some data from the data warehouse. Demo is the name of this instance, and AdventureWorks is the database I'm going to use in order to load some data. I select from a list of tables, and then I have a set of views. I have used views instead of using tables just because the tables in AdventureWorks are so boring. They have English product name, French product name, Spanish product name, English category name, and all these names. And most important, Italian name is missing. So I decided to build some views that reduce the number of columns of AdventureWorks in order to make my life easier. We need the calendar, categories, we want customers, we want the products, sales, and sales territory. Let's imagine these are the tables my user wants to work on. I click on Finish, and Power Pivot starts loading data from the data model. Once data is loaded, I have this window that contains here all the tables, calendar, category, customers, and so on. Having loaded views, I have not loaded relationship, so I need to go to the diagram view, and from there, start to create relationship and build my data model. If you load data from tables instead of using views, this step can be avoided, but it's not all that hard. Sales is the fact table, we put it in the middle, then product key points to product. Subcategories are here, and the subcategory goes there. We have a calendar with the order date. And finally, customers and sales territory. Let me search for customer key that goes there. And customers should have the sales territory key to create a relationship. As you can see, it's not a perfect star schema. The purist would say, looks like a snowflake, looks like a schema with reference dimension. We don't worry too much about that. Tabular is no longer based on dimensional modeling. It can work with any data model, no matter if you follow strictly Kimball rules or if you decide to deviate from there. So here we have our data model. And all we need to do is start browsing it. Click Pivot Table and build our pivot table. Excel 2013 is able to directly connect to Power Pivot. So from here, I can take, for example, from the products, the color, which is here, put on the rows. And from the sales, I grab, of course, sales amount. Put it there, and data is already working. Why I think this is already an important result? Because it takes more or less 3 minutes to start from a data model and start browsing data. So the customer looks at what you are doing and is able to immediately understand the kind of solution you are building for him. Of course, now we are just slicing data by color and looking at sales amount. Color might not be the most important data we want to look at, so we can remove color and, for example, add it as a slicer that we then align there. And finally, we have a calendar, so we can look at how sales are going over time. Put the year on the rows, and everything is working fine. But as soon as we put the month name on the rows again, we see that, well, the result is not really sexy. I mean, the sorting August, December, July, November, October, September is something that only some geeky Mike from Microsoft can understand why it's sorting it that way. The problem is that Power Pivot by default uses alphabetical sorting and does not know that months are not sorting alphabetically. So we need to fix it. Let's go to the data model, search for the calendar table, month name, and there is a magic button, sort by column, that lets you sort data by using a different column. So we sort data by month number, go back to the pivot table, and now data is correctly sorted. Again, for the ones of you who are used to multidimensional, it's useful to look at the speed at which you do changes and immediately look at the result in a pivot table. There is no wait time, there is no deploy time, there is nothing you need to do in order to immediately see the result of what you are looking at. Then you have the calendar, you put the full date, you put the full dates here on the rows, and since you might know that the user normally want to browse data using year, month, and date, you probably want to build a hierarchy out of it, so to make life easier for user when browsing data. Not all that hard. You go there on the calendar. You should go that in the diagram view. Maximize the calendar, and you simply select the year and then the month name, full date, right-click, no right-click. Select the year, the month name, the full date, and click on Create a Hierarchy, which you call Solar Hierarchy. You might have fiscal hierarchies or whatever you might desire. Hide it, go to Book 1. You can, at this point, remove everything from the pivot table, and our calendar table is slightly different. Our calendar table should be slightly different. Now, I have not created a hierarchy, so let's do it again. Put the year on the hierarchy, then the month name after the year, and finally the full date after the month name. Full date after the month name, no way. Then go there, beautiful user interface. Okay, now we have our hierarchy, and magically our dimension changed. We have our solar hierarchy, which is working right now. It's fine, it works, and it's already doing some kind of job. So we are able to slice data, we are able to filter by color, see at sales amount, look at numbers, and everybody's happy. We might want to do the same hierarchy on the products. The problem is that the products have categories, and we have category name in a different area. So category name is the categories table, and products are there. So we cannot build a hierarchy using columns which come from different tables, but we can solve the problem pretty easily doing one step, which is very interesting from the Power Pivot point of view, which is that of creating a calculated column. Calculated columns are computations that are performed by Power Pivot, columns that are created by Power Pivot and stored inside the data model. So we can get the product category name from the subcategories table and put it inside our product table. We rename it, of course, as category. And we do the same operation for the subcategory. We go here, and we create a new calculated column, which is related from the categories. We get the subcategory name this time. Confirm everything, rename it, and this is subcategory. Why this part, which doesn't seem so important, is important in my mind? Because the user, this can be done by a user, can be done by a BI professional with the user, doesn't change in any way, but we are shaping the data so to make it fit our need. we need to see category and subcategory as attributes of a product table. That's not a hard job. We can simply do that. Category, subcategory, and product name, and then create a hierarchy. Now right button works, which is cat subcat. And so we are shaping data in a different way, exactly in the way we want to see it. We can hide the categories table at this point from the data model, go back to the pivot table, we can remove the solar calendar from here, and inside the product we have category, subcategory. And the user experience in browsing this kind of information, of course, it's very easy, very nice. So it took us more or less a quarter of an hour to start building a first solution and work with the customer. It's time to go back to the customer and tell him that, hey, we built your cube, it's working, you can use it right now to build reports. And don't know what happens to you, but whenever I build a solution and I deliver it to my customer, the customer looks at it and says, yeah, that's fine, but now I want something slightly different from what you did. And so I ask, okay, tell me exactly what you want. The point is that now the customer says, I understand you show me the sales, but I want something different. Now I want to count the customer because I'm doing an analysis of customer right now, and I want to count them in order to see how they work and how many customers I have in different areas, different geographical areas, and so on. If that was to be done in multidimensional, you had to create a new measure group, link it to the fact dimension because you cannot count from a dimension, and then start working. It's not a big job. A couple of hours and the problem is solved. But with Power Pivot, life is slightly easier because if you want simply the sum of sales amount, you build it this way and everything is easy. If you want something slightly more complex like the count of products, you need to go to calculated field and create a new calculated field. You go here. Let me zoom for the ones of you at the bottom. We call it number of customers. We want this to be tied to the customers table. And the formula is simply a DAX formula, nothing complex up to this point, which is count rows of customers. It's a number, we want no decimal point, a thousand separator, click on OK. And we immediately see that this number is always the same, but as BI professional, we look at that and say, that's correct. We are slicing by product, and of course, customers have nothing to share with product. When I will show it to my customer, I will say, of course, if you want to browse it, you need to browse them, for example, by marital status, or by gender, or by whatever, or by occupation here, so that using attributes coming from the customers, I can count the customer in a reasonable way. In an easy way, okay, in a way that has some sense. And so I created my solution, go back to the customer, show the data to him, and he say, yes, that was the customer count, but guess what? I don't want the customer count. Maybe I told you that I want the customer count, but that's not exactly what I wanted. What I want is something different, which is I want to count the number of customers who bought something from me. And I don't want to slice them just by attributes of customer. I want to slice by date. I want to slice by any other attributes and count the number of different customers that bought something from me. In multidimensional, that is a bit of a pain because you need to build a new fact table in order to hold the distinct count and then try to optimize it in the case you want to have decent performance. Doing the same in multidimension in tabular is not all that hard. You can remove this part, which is not so useful, remove the occupation, and put again the date, which is what your user wants to see to browse the number of customers. And instead of writing number of customers in this way, you simply modify the formula and say, okay, what I want to do is not the count of customer. What I want to do is slightly different. I want a distinct count of sales customer key. That's a normal distinct count of the key of the product table, of the customer table, so that I compute it as a distinct count. As I told you, distinct count are a pain in multidimensional, but they are absolutely easy and very, very fast when done in Tabular. Tabular is amazingly easy in doing that. And so, in a couple of seconds, you are able to solve the problem with the customer and say, that's fine. Now you have your customer count, and you know how many customers are buying something from you, which is nice. Customer is probably more happy and says, hey, I'm looking at that, but the numbers are definitely wrong. This is not the real count of customers. What you are doing is counting the customer key. And the customer key in a slowly changing dimension type 2 structure is not the customer code. What I want is a slightly different calculation, which is the distinct count of the customer code, not the customer key. Again, this is far from being an easy calculation to do if you were to do it in previous version of analysis services. But in Tabular, it's not all that complex. You simply need to write some slightly more complex DAX code. You don't count the distinct count of customer key, but you write another version of the code, sorry for not zooming, which is calculate the number of customers for only the customers who are present in the sales table. This is the many-to-many pattern working in multidimensional. It's very in Tabular. It's amazingly fast. Oh, sorry. You don't want the count rows of customer, but you want the distinct count of customer. I don't have the customer code, so we can count the customer name, which is fine in any case. So we do a distinct count of the customer name in this case. You close it, and the numbers now are different because now I'm doing a distinct count of one of the attributes of a dimension using a slowly changing dimension type 2. I know not all of you are working the BI field, but for the ones of you who already tried doing something like it with multidimensional, you know that a calculation like this is already a big pain. It takes a lot of time to study and optimize it. With Excel, and most important, with Tabular and DAX, that's much, much easier. It doesn't require you any kind of complexity. It means that without changing the data model, you are able to do any kind of counting on any attributes of any dimension in any way, which is pretty easy. And at this point, the customer who is happy says, yeah, that's cool. Now I know how many customers I have. And moving on with my analysis, now I would like to see something slightly different. I want you to compute the number of new customers that I have. So month by month or day by day, I want to count the number of customers who are returning customers and the number of customers who are new customers in order to see maybe if advertisement works or if my marketing campaign are working. Now, let me do a quick question to you. How many of you know how to solve the new customer partner using multidimensional, that is Analysis Services 2008 R2, without going to Google and searching for the result there? And what about Excel? How many of you could do the same calculation just using Excel? So basic tables using Excel and nothing else. I didn't know that. So then later maybe you'll explain me how to solve it in Excel because I really don't know how to count new customers in Excel. Sorry? Oh, count if. I'm not a genius in Excel. Anyway, doing that is slightly more complex. It's a scenario that requires some time. And if you were to do that using multidimensional or using a classical BI solution, that takes normally, at least from my point of view, one day just to study the problem, to understand exactly how to compute it. And the only way I know, or I remember, on how to solve this in multidimensional is to create snapshots of the snapshot table that contains for each date a factor that says whether this customer that day was a new customer or not. So that then you can count from that fact table numbers and you end up solving the problem. This is not going to be easy in DAX2, but it's not going to be even too complex. If you want to create, to calculate the new customers, what you need to do is, first of all, get some more space, because the formula will not be very easy. But the idea is that what I want to do is check whether a customer is new or not. And to do that, I need a definition of new customer. A customer is new if he never bought anything from me before, and he is buying something from me now, where now means the selected month, or the selected day, selected year, selected whatever you want, what is inside my pivot table. So with this definition in mind, I move the problem from counting new customers to check whether a customer is buying something from me now, and check whether the customer ever bought something from me before. In order to solve it, you need to write some more complex DAX. What we need to do is count the number of customers. So we start with calculate count rows of customers. But then we don't want to count all of the customers. We want to filter them to reduce the number of customers following our definition. So there is a specific function filter that does exactly that, filters customers. We want to filter the customers. And the condition we are going to use is done by two separate parts. First, I need to check that he is buying something from me now. And in DAX language, he is buying something from me now means let's see if there are rows in the sales table for that specific customer, which is calculate count rows of sales. And this number need to be greater than zero. So we need a number which is greater than zero, meaning that we have at least one customer, one sale for that customer. That is not enough, because this definition says the customer is buying something. We need to add something more complex. We want to check that the same customer never bought anything before. We start more or less in the same way. So we start writing calculate count rows of sales. But this time, we don't want to check the sales in the current period. We want to check sales before the current period. And before the current period means that we need to go for all calendar, get only the dates where the calendar full date is strictly less than the minimum of calendar. Calendar full date. Okay. This last definition says any time before. This parenthesis closes calculate count rows of sales, and this check need to be equal to zero, meaning that there are no sales before the current one. Another parenthesis to close. And this should be the last. Let's check the formula. Incredibly, I have been able to write it without errors. Then we know it's a number, no decimal point, thousand separator, click on OK. And we don't want to call it calculated field 1, of course. We want to call it in a different way, which is a new customer. And this is it. We need to go to customers, get the I lost my measure. It's new customer, and it not need to be in the calendar, but in the customer table.
Okay, so we go to customers, and now if we are lucky enough, we have our new customers. And you see that at the beginning, all the customers are new. So the first days, the first month, all the customers are new. And then, as time moves by, the number of new customers is increasing, and it's different from the number of customers. So in July 2008, we had 116 new customers. Of course, here I have a filter for the color. If I remove the filter from color, numbers change. So using formulas like this, you are able to see how many customers bought something from you which is red and never bought something red before. Finally, another kind of calculation you can do using DAX and using the same pattern is slightly more complex, which is not count the number of new customers, but check the sales of new customers. So I might be interested in understanding not just how many customers are entering my shop, but how much products I am selling to them, because at the end my goal is selling to them. So to be able to compare the difference between how I'm gaining from new customer and how much I'm gaining from old customers. The interesting part of DAX, is that you can easily build a formula like this by modifying the code. So you open the new customer measure, simply copy the code so you don't have to rewrite it again. And you can create a new measure. This time we do that in the customer table immediately, and we call it sales of new customers. You start by simply copying the code, and then you realize that the only difference between the two formulas is that instead of doing count rows of customer, I need to compute sum of sales amount. And the idea is that this filter always filters only the new customer, so I'm computing the sales amount of only new customer, which is different from sales from old customers. That doesn't take a lot of time. Number, decimal, choose separator. We save it, close everything, and now we have sales amount and sales of new customers. So you see, for example, that in January 2008, we had 1,700 customers. 1,000 of them was new, but they produced a small amount of money. So I'm getting new customers, but I'm not getting money out of them. And these information, of course, are important for the user point of view. And using DAX and using a simple Power Pivot data model, you can answer this question. Again, it's important with the customer. So we are not working away from him, we are working with him and looking at numbers with him in order to build our solution. At this point, the customer says, that's cool, solution looks nice, I want to do now some banding. I want to do analysis by price range in order to look at numbers aggregated in different ways. So if you need to solve the banding solution, so give price ranges to the customer using multidimensional, you need to build a new dimension and you need to do a lot of work before you start working with him. In tabular, everything is slightly easier. You can remove something from here. We're not interested in all these numbers. Sum of sales amount is enough. Remove even here. You can take the product. Inside the product, you have the product cost. Put it here. But of course, this is not very sexy. Nobody's going to like a report like this, where I slice by single product. If I want to have the banding, I need to get a new table from my data model that contains the table the banding configuration. I have, of course, a price band table here. The price band is a table that cannot be related to the data model. If you go to data view, you see I want to group by prices, saying that from $0 to 5 it's a very low price, from 5 to 20 is a medium price, and so on. The table cannot be related to my data model. There's no way to create a relationship between them. But again, I have calculated columns. So I can go on the fact table
and create a new calculated column that tells me for each sale exactly to which price band that sale belongs. And the formula is again usage of calculate, the value of the price band. After I select the only, I filter the price band table, showing the only row where the price band from value is less than the unit price, and the price band to value is greater or equal my unit price again. This filter filters only one row out of my price band table, and so if my code is correct, I should see now my calculated column that tells me for each sale what the price band is. I can easily rename the column, call it price band, and at this point, go to my pivot table and start browsing data, not using the cost, which is not very useful, but in the sales table, I have my price band. And so looking here, I see that the price high, low, medium, very high, and very low separate sales using banding. If I'm interested in that, I can always take the unit price and put it here to see that high contains high prices, low contains this range of prices, and medium contains different prices. But the kind of user experience and the kind of report the user is able to build is, of course, much better. Now, once we solved banding, we do analysis by price range. Another kind of banding or categorization that the user might be interested in that in doing is ABC analysis. How many of you know what ABC analysis is or what the Pareto principle is? Just a few. The idea of ABC analysis is to find your core business. So you want to divide products in product in class A, B, and C. Product in class A are the most important from your point of view because they produce 70% of your revenues. Product in class B are the remaining 20%, and product in class C are the final 10%. Building such a solution takes a lot of time, but it's very useful because it's a clustering technique that lets you focus on the most important products for you. Imagine you were Amazon. If you have books which are in class A, so you sell a lot of them and you get a lot of money out of them, these are the books you always have on stock because you want to have them ready. Product in class B can be ordered and be available in 3-5 days, and product in class C, which account for only 10% of your revenues, can be ordered on demand. You don't spend money for stocking these products because even if you don't sell them, you are still a happy company. You need to compute ABC analysis as one of the attributes of your table, so need to be computed before your data model is created. And you can do that kind of analysis from a user point of view just by using Excel. You create a model like this one where you store the total sold, the incremental total sold, which is these are the list of products with the total sold. Then in this row, I simply sum all the rows before, so it's the previous row plus the current one. Then I put there the grand total just because it's convenient to have it there. And the final column, which is the most important one, shows the percentage that this product plus all the ones who sold more than that contributes to my total sales. So that I don't read it correctly, but 11% means that Mountain 200 Silver 38, with all the product that sold more than him, contributes to 11% of my sales. At that point, computing ABC class is pretty straightforward. You just need to check whether the incremental percentage is higher or lower than a specific number. Now, if you were to solve this problem, again, using multidimensional or other different tools, that would require a lot of work. Just by using Excel, and nothing more complex than Excel, there are solutions which are pretty interesting to look at. Let's look at how we can do it. First of all, we follow the pattern we have seen before with Excel. What we want to have is a list of products, and for each product we want to see the total sold. In order to do that, we need to run a query against our data model in Power Pivot and store it in Excel so that we can further perform calculation in Excel, and then we will take this table and put it back in the data model later. The user interface, again, is not very intuitive at this point. You need to go to Data, Existing Connection, Tables, and here you find all the tables which are loaded inside Power Pivot. You can take product, click on open, then OK again, and something strange happens. The Excel is loading data from Excel itself, from Power Pivot, and that data is pushed inside an Excel table. The interesting part is that it's not useful to have an Excel table containing products at this point, but we can do something more interesting, that is going to table, edit DAX, say that we don't want a table, we want a DAX expression, and here we can write any DAX expression that returns data we want to further elaborate. The DAX code, which I hope to remember well, is evaluate add columns to the values of products, product key. So for each product key, I want to have a column which I call total sold, and the value of total sold is calculate sum of sales amount. Let's hope it's correct. No, of course. Table edit DAX. Yes, a missing parenthesis is not a big problem. Now I have product key and total sold. The only problem is that I have numbers there, but they are not sorted as I might want. So what I need to do is go to table, edit DAX, and simply add an order by sales. No, it's order by total sold. Not yet correct, because I want to do the order descending. So order by total sold descending. And now I have my number, product key and total sold. The interesting part is that now I have a table. The table is in Excel, and I can do more or less whatever I want with this table, because I can further perform computation using Excel. I simply insert a table column at the right, and if you remember what I needed to do before, I need to have an incremental total sold. That is not complex. If it's a number, D4, then I want D4 plus C5. Otherwise, I want C5. It never works. If it's number D4, then I want D4 plus C5. Otherwise, I want only C5. Okay. The if is needed because the first previous row is a string containing column 1, and I want to check whether it is a number. If it is a number, then I sum the previous number plus this one. Otherwise, I get just this one. And this is my running total sold. Let's call it running sold. And I'm already near the end of this hard work, because I have running sold. I want the running percentage. Running percentage is pretty easy to compute. It's the running sold divided by the sum of total sold. Yes.
Okay. Seeing this way doesn't seem correct, so we format it as a percentage. Increase decimal number, and so you see 411,820%. This is the value, the percentage that this product plus all the ones more than that sold more than him contributed to the total sales. The final part is not hard to build. We create a new column, and this column is ABC class, which is pretty easy to write if this percentage is less or equal 0.7, then we are in class A. Otherwise, if the same value is less or equal 0.9, then we are in class B. Otherwise, we are in class C. That's it. Our ABC class is here, and you see that as soon as we reach the total number of products that sold, that produced more than 70%, we switch from class A to class B. At this point, we have a table. The problem is that this table is an Excel table. It's not a Power Pivot table. And what we want to do is take this ABC class and push it back inside Power Pivot so to create a relationship and look at data. Luckily, in 2013, this is doable. You can simply go to the design, call this name ABC class, so it has a name, and then you go to Power Pivot and add the table to the data model. What happens is that the table is added to the data model as a linked table, and here we have product key and ABC class. It's just a matter of going to diagram view and create a relationship based on product key from the product to the ABC class. And finally, since we don't want the ABC class here, we can avoid it. Finally, you can go to your workbook, remove price band and all this stuff. We still have the sales, but now we have our ABC class table here. From here, we can take the ABC class, put it there, and we are browsing data by using the ABC class. And you see that 20 million are produced by product in class A, 6 by product in class B, and a small amount from other products. If you want to see, of course, which products we are speaking about, it's pretty easy to take the product name, put it below the ABC class, and you exactly see which products are there, how they sold, and how they contribute to your global sales. The interesting part of this last is the technique to use. Because we started with the Power Pivot data model, then we queried it inside Excel. At that point, we perform further calculation using Excel. And you can imagine something like that in the hand of a user who is able to work with his data using Excel without knowing too much about DAX, but just knowing Excel and grabbing data from wherever he wants. Other workbooks, calculation tables that he builds by himself. Think at budgeting, for example, done in using techniques like those. And then the table is pushed back inside the data model. Excel is able to handle all the complexity of this flow. So if I refresh my data model, the data model will be reloaded back inside the Power Pivot. From there, the pivot my table, that one, will be recomputed. All these columns will be recalculated, and then the table will be pushed back inside Power Pivot, and another step of calculation happens so that if there are dependencies, they still work. Using techniques like those, I expect user to start playing with data and building really complex scenarios. Of course, somebody can say this is Excel hell coming again. Might be true. But at the end, users want to do analysis by themselves, and we are simply giving them the power to do that. If it becomes too complex, then it will be probably time again for BI Pro to intervene and work with them. But working with solutions which are already pre-built and analyzed by the user. Now, at that point, don't know your users, but my users always say, that is really cool. Now I see that I can build all this data model by myself, but I have seen
on a friend wallpaper a map chart showing sales all over the world. It's totally useless, but I really like it, and I want to have it to show it to my boss to see that we are selling things all over the world. If you want to build a map chart, you say, okay, if you want to build a map chart, you need, first of all, to understand something about geography, to understand how to map city names to points in the map, and then find database that tells you which city, where cities are, and finally surface everything on the screen. In Excel 2013, there is a very nice addition, which is Power View. Power View is a new tool that works with Power Pivot, so it works on Power Pivot data models, and it's a different way of building charts and creating interactive reports. If you want to build a Power View report, all you need to do is go to Insert and click on Power View. That opens a Power View sheet, which is different. It's a different environment where you do graphical analysis of your information. Here we already have something which we are going to kill. So we start from scratch. The Power View fields is very small, so let me zoom once so you can have a look at it. Here you have all the tables of your data model, and under each table you have the list of columns of that data model. The idea of Power View is to be very, very simple. All you need to do is just start clicking on columns and look at the charts that come. So, for example, you can go on the products, click on the color, and Power View answers simply creating the list of colors and showing it here. Then you probably want to see by color the sales. So you go to the sales amount, click here, and Power View answers showing you the sales divided by color, which is not very interesting looking at this point because it just shows numbers, and numbers are very similar to what you can easily get with a pivot table. The cool part about Power View is that you can change the way numbers are shown. You can look at data as a table, as a bar chart, column chart. For example, you can click on bar chart, and the same set of data is now shown as a chart. And you can, of course, resize, put the chart here, and start investigating on your data, looking at data in this way. Then we have one chart here, but we are not limited to one chart. We can go to the calendar, for example, take the year. I don't want to have the sum of the year. Let's not use the year. Let's use the month name. Okay, let's click on month name. So we have January, February, March. Again, we take the sales amount, put it inside this table. These two tables are two different tables. One is sales amount by color. The other one is sales amount by month. And this I can change as a stacked column. Since it is time, it shows better just by using data horizontally instead of vertically. And one of the nice features of Power View is that these two charts are in reality linked just by the fact that they belong to the same page. So you can click on black, for example, and the chart changes its shape, showing the part of sales in January that were built just by using black products. I click on blue, and it works. And it works on both ways. I can click, for example, on July, and I see on July what are the sales of July for different colors. Of course, AdventureWorks does not sell dresses, but if you are tied to seasonalities, if you are tied to colors or kind of analysis like those, these parts are very interesting. But Power View is not only interesting for building charts like those. We started with the willingness to build a map. So if we want to build a map, of course, we don't want to use a chart like those, like this. We create a new one. We create a new one going to insert Power View. So we create a new chart. And this time we do analysis on sales territory. Okay, we are interested in, let's put the country, which is the easiest one, Australia, Canada, France. And since we have the country, we want, again, sales amount. And now we have data. I can show it as a bar chart, but that's not very cool, because it just shows data graphically. What is interesting is that if I want to show data on a map, all what I need to do is click on map. And what happens at this point is that if the Wi-Fi is working, which is far from being assured, PowerPivot is going to take all the names you have in the table, in the country, send them to Bing, get a geographical resolution of the names, download the map from Bing, and shows the data over a map. And all this stuff happens in a completely automated way. You don't need to do anything. All you need to have is an internet connection. But today, apart from conferences, we normally have internet connection, which work normally. And these charts works exactly as any other charts. I can see from here Europe. I sold in United Kingdom, Germany, France, nothing in Spain, but that's adventure works. Looking at data in this way, I can look at the grand part, the view from the top. I might be interested, for example, not looking at countries, but looking at cities. The cities are not here. Cities are in the customer. So I can click on city. And you see that it's completely identical. Now you see the process of geographic resolution. Each point, which is dot, is a web call to Bing, get the geographical resolution, come back, get the size of the point, and draw it on the map. And of course, you can zoom normally. At this point, you can go much deeper. Problem is that this kind of report is too scattered. It's not easy to understand exactly things if you want to go at this detail level. PowerView has an interesting feature, which is that of drill through. You can take the country, put it before the city, and now your chart shows immediately the city. And if you want to see more data, you double click, which I never do correctly, you double click on Australia, and then you zoom inside Australia in order to look exactly at what happened. And if you want, you can even take the address line, put it there, and at this point, you should be able to. Okay, we have only one address there, one there. You should be able to go deep, deep, deep until you say exactly where your customer is at the address and how you sold something exactly there. The interesting part is that everything here is automatic. You don't need to do anything. It comes inside Excel. And if you think about building such a tool by yourself using multidimensional or any other tool in the market, that takes probably years of your life, and nobody will ever pay you for that. While tomorrow, they will have it in Excel just by installing 2013 and using PowerPivot. Finally, another thing that I want to show you is that you can use drill through. Then we remove address line and we do a drill up. You can even take the country, put on Tyler. Putting country on a Tyler means that your data is transformed so that you no longer see all the data, but clicking on the Tyler here, you see Australia, which is showing data from there. Don't know why. Probably the data is wrong. But if you click on France, Germany, United Kingdom, you are browsing data. I probably have bad data somewhere. Yeah, because city, probably I have cities which are scrambled for some reason. Don't know exactly why. But the point is that you can easily build reports like those, or if your user is really interested in doing that, you can remove the Tyler, just use the map, and instead of using the Tyler, you can use the vertical multiplier, taking from the sales territory the country and put it on the vertical multiplier. Your map changes and shows all the different countries for each, and for each country you have a zoom. Of course, all these features work together. So you can filter a color and see the map, how it works on color. You can filter on the map and look the color which were sold. If you are interested, for example, look at how different colors are sold over different points. You search for the product color, which is here. Take the color and put it there. And the report now is a bit harder. Let me remove the vertical multiplier so we have the ability to zoom. And now you see that for each city I see now a pie, and this pie shows me the different colors which are sold on that specific city. Of course, I'm doing that using AdventureWorks and bike sales. But you might imagine this in the hand of a user who knows his data. In my personal experience, the most time-consuming part of doing a BI consultancy is not building the solution. Once I understand the customer need, I can easily build the solution. But I normally spend days, if not weeks, only to understand what the customer wants, what are the numbers that he wants to compute, what are the business rules, how they need to work, and what are the important points from his analysis. All this time is gone because this is something which the user does by itself. Simply start playing with Power Pivot, play with data, play with Power View, and you see that these reports look very cool, and they are just one click away, just a matter of doing a few clicks. Power View is not a powerful tool. You cannot create incredibly complex charts. Excel is still probably more powerful if you want to specify the color of a bar, or if you want to specify different axis ranges or something like it. Probably Excel is still better, but with Power View, it's just a matter of a few clicks. So the idea of Power View is not as a reporting tool, but as a data exploration tool. It's a graphical exploration tool. You start looking at data graphically, and of course you can get insights from that. You can check that in London, in that place, these are the colors that were sold, and you can compare with the chart which is somewhere else inside your data model. Okay. Time to go back to the slide, do a few words, and then we have a few minutes of Q&A if you want. So, we have seen Power Excel, DAX, Power Pivot, Power View. These are the building blocks of the new way of building business intelligence. Not a new way, it's a way that it's growing year over year in the last few years. The idea is that using DAX, using Power Pivot and then DAX, you base everything on a simple relational data model. Remember, we still have Marco who is trying to work on the solution and is probably at the beginning of dimension building. In the meantime, we built a pretty complex scenario. It's not something that, it's something that took weeks, if not months, to build in previous version. We did everything in more or less 1 hour. And of course, I knew what to do, so I had a clear path to follow. But you have seen that the time required to build a solution is not very long. It's just a matter of knowing DAX. And probably at this point, you don't know DAX, or you are learning DAX. But once you will learn it, this is the speed at which you will work, because using DAX is like using SQL. If you are a BI professional, I guess you think in SQL. You don't even try to translate a problem in SQL. You just write your SQL code out of your hand and it works. DAX works exactly the same way. Its power is based on calculated columns, which are a powerful modeling tool, and the incredible speed of DAX.
I'm missing a slide. I have probably deleted the conclusion slide that says, okay, so Excel is changing the world again, at least this is my personal opinion. I think that Excel, Power Pivot, and Sales Service BI are probably changing the way at which we are doing business intelligence. Everything will be probably in the hand of users, and they will be able to do complex solution. Up to us, BI consultants like me, there will probably be space for more complex scenarios, teaching customers, helping them on the most complex topics. But easy business intelligence is something that they will do by themselves without our help. There are some sessions you might be interested in looking at. Microsoft Data Explorer for Excel. If you have not seen Data Explorer for Excel and you are interested in self-service BI, this is really cool. It's a beautiful tool they built, which is able to do some kind of ETL inside Excel without any kind of programming, and then query index, which Marco will do in order to show you how to run queries on DAX. If you are interested in this stuff, you can find me at the Microsoft book, more or less always. And tonight we have a book signing at 6:30 at O'Reilly Book. They will give away 25 books about Power Pivot, so if you want to have a free book, you can come there and you might be happy. Or just help me when you see me around. I'm always happy to discuss this topic with anybody else. All classical stuff, resources, find us on Channel 9, Learning, TechNet, remember to evaluate the session and blah, 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 so you win an Xbox and whatever. We have just 3 minutes, so the session is finished now. If you want to do any question, I'm here. And if you want to do further questions, you can stop me later. Thank you.